But that song that Seth just played, if you do not know it, it's called Mary, Did You Know? The lyrics go like this: Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Goes on and says, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day heal and rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. I love how that song paints a picture in our minds of what must have been going on in the mind of Jesus' mother, Mary. I'm sure that most of you sitting here today or listening online, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the story of Jesus' birth. But it's always helpful to consider the birth of Christ, or any story from Scripture for that matter, from a different perspective. And that's what that song provides to us. I want to pause briefly and give you an invitation to join us online this Thursday evening, December 24th, for our virtual Christmas Eve service. Because I feel like that service is going to give you a unique perspective on the birth of Christ and the holiday that we celebrate as Christmas. The service will be premiered on both Facebook as well as YouTube about 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. And we've spent the last couple of weeks capturing some of you on video. We're still capturing some on video. And we want you to tune in to find out if you made the final cut, all right? Because you may have just been too ugly, I don't know. The thing that's going to be the most fun about this is that we are looking for a different point of view on the Christmas story. And so we have asked all of our kids ages 3 to 12 or so, or maybe not all, but a bunch of our kids, about their perspective of what the Christmas story is all about and who Jesus is. And so you definitely want to tune in and see that and hear this story maybe from a bit of a different perspective. And that's exactly actually what I want to do today, this morning. I want us to consider the role of the shepherds in the narrative of the Christmas story. Who were they? Why were they included in this story? What did they do? How did they contribute to the overall story of Christ's birth? And so, if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to open it to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be looking at chapter 2, and I want you to join me as we read together this very familiar account of the birth of our Savior. We'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, for a little bit different perspective on this simple story of the first Noel, I want to encourage you to watch a video later after the service today, sometime this week. And there's a link to the full video in the interactive sermon notes on YouVersion Bible app. And we will share a link to the video on social media and on our website following these services. But this video was created by Dallas Jenkins, who also is the creator of the multi-season mini-series about the life of Christ. And the video I want to encourage you to watch is called The Shepherd. And this we have for you this morning a trailer of this 24-minute film. Watch this trailer. It's an amazingly powerful video, and again, I want to encourage you to take a few minutes this week to watch the full 24-minute video. It's a powerful look into the lives of these simple, hard-working individuals who were the first to hear the good news of the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. And so for the next few minutes this morning, I want you to consider with me a few things that we can learn from these simple, hard-working shepherds who were invited to worship the baby Jesus on the night of his birth. And the first way we should respond to that message of Christmas is that we need to learn to not be afraid. That's the first lesson that the shepherds learn, is they learn to not be afraid. You see, folks, if we accept this good news of great joy that they're talking about, right? If we accept this good news of great joy, it should end our fear. The shepherds were afraid. It tells us that in verse 9. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." They were afraid. The sight of an army of angels would definitely be a shock to the system of any individual. But you see, their fear may have been a result not just of the shock of the angels, but of being in close proximity with God, the Lord of all creation. You see, in the Bible, people always experienced traumatic anxiety and fear when they got near to God, or even near the angels who came from His presence. And it all goes back to the experience that the first people had, back in Genesis chapter 3. You see, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they would walk and talk with God, and they were in His presence all the time. And then sin invaded their hearts and their lives. And that sin separated them from God. And the next thing we find is when God is walking through the garden and He asks them, "Where are you?" They were hiding. They were afraid. Why? They were afraid because they were confronted with the holiness of God. And they recognized their sinfulness as a result. You see, the problem in Genesis 3 was that Adam and Eve had just sinned by eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Before that, they had no reason to fear. And folks, if you have a relationship with God, you have no reason to fear. He has forgiven you. He has accepted you. He has covered you with His blood. He has adopted you into His family. You are His own. But the problem is too many times we as human beings throw off the rule and governance of our Lord. We push God off the thrones of our lives by not keeping in step with His Spirit. We live our lives in rebellion against God, and our hearts and our minds are filled with anxiety and fear as a result, because we're confronted with the holiness of God. Remember what 1 John 4:18 says? There is no fear in love, but perfect love, what? Casts out all fear. So folks, if you're dealing with anxiety and fear, I want to challenge you today to do something in your life this week. And that challenge is for you to assess your life and your circumstances and see if you have thrown off God's rule in your life. See if you have crowned yourself as the sovereign of your life. He will not force His rule upon you, Yes, he is an all-powerful powerful God, the creator of all creation, but he will not force his rule upon any one of us. We must invite him to sit on the thrones of our hearts. He cannot be the king of our lives if we keep pushing him off his throne. And so if you're struggling with fear and you're struggling with anxiety, I encourage you, check your heart and look and see who the king of your heart truly is. So the shepherds were afraid, but it wasn't just the fear of the strange sights in the night sky. It was the fear of the presence of holiness. The angel, however, has an astonishing message to them. He says, you won't be afraid anymore if you will look at what I am showing you. That's what he said. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. You see, the fear that inhabits the deep place of our souls can be dispelled with the good news if we just look for it, if we behold it. And so that's the second thing I want us to consider this morning that we can learn from the shepherds is not only we can learn how to not be afraid, but we can also learn to perceive. You see, the word behold here is an archaic English word, which honestly is often skipped over in a lot of the more modern translations. I don't know what Bible translation you may be reading this morning, but you may have been reading along and it didn't say anything about looking or beholding or whatever. And if so, that's because it's one of the more modern translations. You know, when you're picking out a Bible translation, and maybe I should have said this 3 or 4 weeks ago because many of you have already finished your Christmas shopping, and a new Bible is often on that list, right? But when you're picking a Bible translation, you need to consider a few things. You need to find out, is this a word-for-word translation? Or is it a thought-for-thought translation? Both of them have their place, but when you're doing Bible study, you need a word-for-word translation. Is it an easy-to-read Bible translation? Or is it a moderate or a difficult read? And also, is it using modern language or is it using more antiquated language? And by the way, those are all different. You can have a good word-for-word moderate translation that is using modern language. So there are other issues when purchasing a new Bible that I won't go into now. But if you do have a question about that, please talk to me. This book that I have in front of me is what guides my life each and every day. I spend time in it each and every day, every morning, every evening, and many times, many points in time in between. It's important that I be able to understand this book, and it's important that the book that I'm focused on is a quality translation of God's Word that fits what you need. And it's not a one-size-fits-all, by the way. All right? Let's look on. Behold, this archaic English word. What does it mean? Well, this word is a particle in the Greek language. Now, I use particles all the time when I'm speaking. I will say something like, well, and then I'll finish my sentence. Or, so, and I'll finish my sentence. Or the most prolific particle I use in my preaching is this word. Right? I sit and I listen to myself sometimes after I've preached and, you know, doing editing or whatever, and I'm like, why do I say so many times? But, you know, it happens. But those are particles in the English language. Well, this word is a particle in the Greek language. And it's most commonly translated as the word behold, if it's included in the translation. Like I said, sometimes it's not. It's also translated as see, or lo, as in L-O, not L-O-W, like low, but and lo, They're a, what's the term? And lo, they're a, help me. When they heard the shepherds in the field, anyway, or the sheep in the field. But, you know, those are particles. They just kind of, they're just there. Sometimes they have less meaning than other times. The word not a lot of meaning. Okay? But the word so, that has a lot of meaning, or can. So how do we understand this word, behold? Well, I believe the best way to translate this word and interpret this word is behold, observe, consider, perceive. You see, the angels wanted the shepherds to pay attention. Consider what they had to say. Understand what they had to say. So what Dr. Luke records here is that the angels weren't just trying to get the shepherds' attention. They wanted them to consider what they had to say. They wanted them to perceive it, understand it, and then act on it. Behold! That means I want you to listen and act on this next part, by the way. Okay? Behold! This is the principle. Behold the gospel, and you won't be afraid. If you take time to comprehend or behold what this gospel message is saying, then you will not fear. You will not be dominated by anxiety in your life. He said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, said, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among those with whom He is pleased. What is the good news? The good news was that the Messiah had come. God became man, and that man offered joy and peace to all mankind. So the third lesson that we learn from the shepherds is that we need to learn to experience peace. We can experience peace through the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we no longer have to be separated from God. Yes, our sin separates us from God. But the work of Jesus Christ reconciles us to Him. It makes that relationship with God right. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says in verse 17, the most famous of these verses, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." But it goes on and says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses or their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You see, folks, because of what Jesus Christ did, our relationship with God can be restored. We can have peace amongst the tribulation and the trials and the difficulties of this life. We can experience peace. I mean, think about what those shepherds' lives must have been like. Oh, I really hope you go and watch that video. It's only 24 minutes. To get a glimpse of what their life might have been like.
And by the way, yes, in case you were wondering, my wife and daughter thought I should just show the video and not preach. But anyway, she's agreeing this time, you know. I said, no, I probably shouldn't do that. We can have peace in the midst of so much difficulty. We have no reason to fear because we have the good news of great joy that God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And so, as a result, the next verse of that same passage I was just reading, the next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Because of the amazing thing that God has done for us in reconciling us to Him, now we need to be His spokespeople as a result. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us, it says. And Paul goes on and says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So four lessons that we learned from the shepherds. The first was learn to not be afraid. The second was learn to perceive. The third was learn to experience peace. And the last lesson is that we need to learn to listen well. We need to learn to listen well. The shepherds listened well. The shepherds heard about Jesus from the angels, and immediately they went to see Him for themselves. They went to Bethlehem to find Mary and Joseph and this baby that was going to be found wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. But I find it interesting that the next thing that happens, we find in verse 17, says when they saw it with their own eyes, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. They were Christ's ambassadors. They spread the word. They conveyed to others what the angels had told them, and then they added their own eyewitness account to what they had seen and shared the message of Jesus Christ, that the Messiah was born, that God became man. The shepherds listened well. They were listening to angels sent by God. And you know, it's easy to listen well when the one speaking is an angel of the Lord, backed up by a whole army of angels singing behind them. It's pretty easy to get somebody's attention with that, right? In fact, it's quite hard to compare that, you know, an angel of the Lord with a host of angels behind him. It's hard to compare that to the sermons that you're asked to listen to each week. It's a little easier to listen well to that, maybe, than the sermons. I think it's safe to say that you would be more attentive to an army of angels if they were to appear to you in the night sky. Amen? Okay, thank you, son. But the key thing about this is that the speaker the key is that it's not about the speaker. You see, it's not about the angel. In fact, here, you know, in other places it names the angel that comes, but here, at least in the ESV, it doesn't say what the name of the angel was. You know, we always kind of assume it was Gabriel, but we don't know. It's not about Gabriel. It's not about the angel. It's about the message. And so when we come together on Sunday morning, it's not about the speaker. It's not about the presentation. It's not about a light show. We need to learn to listen well because we are listening to words from our God. The key is that the speaker needs to be listening to the voice of God and truthfully proclaiming His message. And that can be anybody, but it's not everybody. Don't forget, in Numbers chapter 22, one of Brother Alberto's favorite passages this year, right? God even spoke His word to Balaam using a donkey. If He can use a donkey to speak His word, He can use you and me too. Amen? If you don't know that story, you really ought to read Numbers 22. Again, it's not about the speaker. It's about the word being spoken on behalf of an almighty God. The shepherds listened well. And you see, listening well is evidenced in obedience, because they immediately acted upon the information they were given. Now, I don't want to disparage my children today, so I'm going to talk about, hypothetical children that people may have, right? But you know your child's listening well when they get up and they do it immediately, right? How well are they listening if an hour and a half or 5 hours later you come back and say, "Did you do that? Huh? What are you talking about?" Listening well, and by the way, that never happens at our house. Listening well is evidenced by obedience. They didn't waste any time in finding Jesus. If you notice, it said they made haste. That means they hurried. They didn't drag their feet. They hurried. So they did it immediately. They hurried. And then they did not keep it to themselves. They spread the news far and wide. Everything that they had been told and everything that they had experienced, they let others know. And they did not readily forget the message. You know, I'll be honest with you. You're not unusual here. This is statistics across the board. Across the country, around the world. But, you will forget 90% of what I say in this place this morning by tomorrow. That's why we provide you with places to take notes, or the interactive sermon notes, or the ability to go back and watch it again online. Because frankly, I put a lot of effort into these things, and I want you to get as much as you can. But I realize that even the best of you would only get 20 to 30% of what I'm saying and actually remember it. And before you feel bad and feel like this is me getting on to you, I don't remember what I preached last Sunday, okay? It's not just you. Oh, and by the way, John preached last Sunday. But anyway. But here we find evidence that the shepherds did not readily forget the message. Because even as they returned to the fields, it says that they were still glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. They listened well. So my question to you is, have you listened well today? And if you are listening well, what is it that God is saying to you? What is it that God is speaking to your heart about today that you need to do differently in your life? It may be that you struggle with anxiety and fear. I would challenge you again. Examine your heart to see who's the sovereign in your life. Who's the Lord over the way you live? Because if you're trusting in yourself to take care of all your problems, it's no wonder you're anxious and fearful. But if you're trusting in the one who has all things under his control, who loves you. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Are you dealing with anxiety and fear? Maybe you need to take a moment and consider the good news of great joy. Maybe you need to think about, understand it, perceive it. You see, you may have made a profession of faith in Christ. You may know that you know that you know Him, but how well do you understand all that He has done for you? Maybe you need to take a minute and behold the amazing grace that is given to you as a child of God. Maybe you need to learn how to experience peace. Experiencing peace in the midst of holiday season is not always easy, is it? But I challenge you to find those moments of peace. I had a very long day yesterday. I won't go into all that we did, but it was grueling. I am so thankful for the hour and 20 minutes that I spent before I left the house, because had I not, I would have been in a bad, bad situation by 11 o'clock last night. Experience peace. Folks, what is God saying to you today? How are you going to respond in obedience to Him? Because if you're listening well, that means you're responding in obedience. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for all that you do for us. And God, now that as we come to this time of reflection, I just pray that you would help each one of us to consider our own lives. Think about what it is that you're saying to us today. And Lord, I pray that we will respond in obedience to you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.